Welcome to the MPC Podcast. I am Tim W. Gill, pastor of Medora Pentecostal Church, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us today. Here at MPC, we are committed to bringing hope and building lives. One way we do that is through this podcast. Thank you for listening, for sharing and reviewing what we do here. It is our desire to connect with you, and you can find us on Facebook, or you can find us at our website, medorachurch.com. It is our prayer that today's message inspires you, encourages you, and that the kingdom of God is advanced in your life. Let's get right to the word of the Lord today.
I'm going to be very open with you tonight. I come heavy. But rejoicing. I will hope that I can deliver to you today what the Lord has put on my spirit this week. While I was laid up, things that the Lord visited me with, and I just want to share it with you. From the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10. Praise God. I appreciate all of our worship team. These guys do a great job, y'all. Not just are they good, but they're spiritual, solid. I'm thrilled to watch our worship team stop and just begin to pray and seek the Lord, and, or go off the platform to go pray for somebody else. That's what it is about. That's what it is about. And I appreciate that very, very much. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me. I've changed my mind. It repenteth me that I've set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel so much that he cried unto the Lord all night." Something gripped him. We need something to grip us tonight. We need the Spirit of the Lord to grip us tonight. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and is gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal." Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, "Blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." With the help of the Lord, and I truly need him tonight, I'm going to minister on this thought, the seduction of the show. The seduction of the show. Could you pray with me right now? Father, we need you. We need you in this place today. Lord, we're living in a critical hour. The church is in a critical time. Lord, we are standing in the last days, and we are either going to have apostasy or revival. Lord, we can't have both. But Lord, you said in the end time you're going to be a falling away, and then there's going to be revival in the last days. Help us to embrace revival. Help us to embrace your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Be seated. Again tonight, my assignment is the seduction of the show. Lord, would you anoint my voice, amen, in this place. To understand a little bit of this story, it's good to go back to the backdrop of King Saul. You find that Israel had been led by judges that would periodically come along. And these judges would appear as a time that was needed. And the Lord would use them all from various ways and means and even genders. God used judges. Samuel became the judge, the main leader, the one that was the spiritual leader. And as he began to get older, his sons were worthless. His sons were worthless. And so the leaders of Israel said to Samuel, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We look around and we see that there are other nations that have kings and their kings are leaders, and we want to be like other nations. This was not God's perfect plan, but he allowed it. Amen. I want to tell you, God allows a lot of things that he doesn't approve of. But we find that Saul was chosen as the specimen for being the king. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. The Bible said he was choice young man and goodly. That means he was good looking. There was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person or a better looking person. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. He was a choice young man. He was a handsome young man. His father Kish was known as a mighty man of power, meaning that his family was prominent. His family was a powerful, prominent family. He looked good. He stood above the rest. He was a potential in the process. When you saw Saul, you would think he's a man's man. He's a big man. He's a tall man. He's dark and handsome. Amen. He was man's man. The word Saul literally means ask for or demanded. The people asked for a man and they got what they demanded. He explodes like a rising superstar in Israel's epic history. He seemed to be the right man. He had a bombastic personality. He had captivating charm. He had charisma and he was handsome. He looked good. He looked good. He was beautiful. Make him king. Amen. Saul was promoted because of his physical attributes, because of his appearance. Amen. The Bible says that he was choice and handsome, for there was no other person in Israel as handsome as Saul. Let's go find the best looking. Let's go find the biggest. Let's go find the one that is the greatest specimen of a man. He is tall, dark, and handsome, comes from a good family. He looks the part. He has the stature. He has the size. He has the prominence. He looks good. He's a good-looking young man. Let's make him to be king. We like his bombastic. We like his bombastic personality, his magnanimous character and charisma. We like Saul. He is the people's choice. We welcome Saul, the people's choice. He's the one that everybody applauds for. The people's choice. And so through the process of time, we could study his life and the verses and chapters leading up to chapter 15. But let's just jump right where the story begins. In 15:1, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. The Lord's about to give you a word, and you need to listen intently so that you will get it right. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Aren't you glad we're not living in the Old Testament day when this is how God handled judgment? Because Amalek had become such a wicked people that God said, here's how I'm going to judge them. I am going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy them. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, you have reached a wicked place, and now I'm going to wipe you out like the antediluvians, amen, that when the flood came, they were taken away because their thoughts were wickedness continually. There's no mistaking this call to action. God gave clear instructions. Everything that breathed was to be destroyed. Everything that breathed was to be destroyed. Understanding this, the Amalekites were under the judgment of God. They did not repent, and therefore severe consequences were the result of their sin. Now, Saul, he called his army together. He called them together at Telaim and prepared them to go to war. 200 companies of infantry from Israel and another 10 companies from Judah. And Saul marched to Amalek city and he hid in the canyon. And there was a group of people called the Kenites living there. The Kenites had treated Israel friendly and nice. And so they sent word to the Kenites, get out. We're coming to destroy Amalek. We are coming to get rid of them. Amen. You need to get out. You need to evacuate the city. And so they did evacuate the city. Notice Saul's initial response to his job. He did not refuse. He did not make excuse. He didn't go through, well, let me do this and let me think about that. Amen. There was no blatant signs of rebellion. Amen. He had a mission and the priority, and he began to fulfill it. He didn't procrastinate. He didn't make excuse. He didn't get busy doing something else. He had a clear mandate before him. Saul and the Israeli army marched on Amalek. They destroyed every person except. They destroyed every person except, amen, Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Look at verse 8. Amen. Y'all hang with me in this story for just a few minutes. We're going somewhere. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag. But not only that, they spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge, that they utterly destroyed. If it looked good, they kept it. If it looked bad, they got rid of it. If it was healthy, they kept it. If it was sickly, they destroyed it. If it was something that was pleasing to the eyes, they kept it. If it was something that was ugly, they got rid of it. Amen. Oh, all of a sudden, they went from being obedient to now being selective. Can I stop here and tell you, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, intentions do not matter. When it comes to living for God, intentions do not matter. Well, I intend, or I intend to be, or this was my intentions. What matters is obedience, only obedience. When God calls us, he is not going to simply say, well, you intended to do something, so slide on by. No, no, no. He is calling his people to radical, quick, righteous obedience. Perhaps Saul's reasoning seemed plausible. Let's save the best animals and we'll sacrifice them. We're going to kill them anyway. Well, we'll sacrifice them. Amen. He may have said to himself, well, you know, surely the Lord would be pleased if we brought him an offering. We'll bring him an offering. Amen. But that's not what God commanded. Amen. Then in verse 10 it says, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel saying, it repenteth me. It repenteth me that I had set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not, somebody say, hath not performed my commandments, and it grieves Samuel. Amen. Saul's 99% obedience, it garnered this response of God. I am sorry that I put Saul in. 99% obedience got this response from God. He hath turned back from me. We have got a mentality today that if I could just do a little bit of obedience, and God's just going to excuse all this other stuff. Amen. If I will follow him, if I will be obedient in the majority of the stuff. If I will be obedient in the most of things. Matter of fact, if I'm 99.9% obedient, then surely God will be pleased with me. Can I tell you, God is not impressed with our ability. He's not impressed with our talent. He's not impressed with our skill. He's not impressed with our sacrifice. He's not impressed with what we bring him. What he's impressed is with 100% obedience. Somebody say 100% obedience. Verse 12 says, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came. This is what it was pictures. Please get this. Saul came to Carmel, comma, and, comma, behold, comma, he set him up a place, comma, and is gone about, comma, and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. This is King Saul's response to his victory, his great victory, his overcoming. He set him up a place. Do you know what that means? He set him up a memorial. He set him up a monument. He erected a celebration statue for his work and said, here, look what we have done. The first thing he did is simply said, I want to memorialize what I have done. This is where the seduction begins. The seduction begins to think, because I have numbers, because I have done, and because I have this, then surely God would be pleased with me. He would not be pleased with me if I didn't have all these cattle, if I didn't have all these sheep, if I didn't have all of this. That is the blessing of the Lord. But he began to memorialize what he was supposed to take care of. He set him up a place. He set him up a place. The seduction of the show that has got into our world today, has got into the church today. It is the celebrity culture that is a cancer to the apostolic movement. It is the mega church mentality that I can just simply say, look what I have done. Look what I have built. Look what I have done. Surely God is pleasing with me. He's pleased. But God is not impressed with my show. God is not impressed with my show. He is impressed with my obedience.
Yes, sir.
If it looks a certain way, then it must be the will of God. If it looks a certain way, or I've got so many in the seat. I've got so many in the seat that's pleasing to God. And we begin to, what do you run? What do you run? How many are you running? How many are you baptizing? Then Lord help us, Facebook hits and then the show continues about how many. I'm not against posting what you want to post, but I want to tell you, we better be more in tune with obedience than we are with the show. With everybody seeing what we're doing, seeing what we got, seeing what we're driving, seeing what we live in, see where we're preaching, see where we're going, see what we have got. Oh, God, help us. It is the seduction of this hour, and that is, I want to show. We have become addicted to events and not with encounters. I said we have become addicted to events and conferences, slick, beautiful, wonderful, but we leave there just as empty as when we arrive. We get there and we have ideas and we have symposiums and conferences and we have seminars and we learn about this and that, what we can do, how we can take care of it, and how we can act. And God is saying, I'm not impressed with your skill. Oh, go ahead and do that. I'm not impressed with your organizing, but go ahead and do that. What I'm impressed with is your obedience. We have churches filled with people that just nonchalantly say, well, I'm a believer. Nonchalantly say, I'm apostolic. Amen. I want you to know right up front, I am preaching this for preventative maintenance. All right. Lest there be a spirit that gets a hold of MPC anywhere, everywhere, at any time that says, look how good we are. Look how wonderful. Our heritage of 110 years is baloney if we are not obeying God. Our families of generations is meaningless if we do not obey God. Hallelujah. I thank God for our forefathers. I thank God for some that they may have got it wrong in some areas, but they preached separation from the world. They preached separation from sin. They preached holiness and righteousness. They preached don't attend this and don't attend that. And we have found our way to excuse ourselves on every front where this is okay and that's okay, because we can't find anything. Where is the desire that says, let me please you? I don't go because I want to please you. I'm not looking for a quick way to just simply do what I want. Oh God, I pray today that we do not become seduced by the show. You see, it's not the lights. It's the spirit. It's not whether you even have fog or you don't have fog. It's the spirit. It is the spirit that says our focus is on our live stream, and praise God, we are not there, and by God's grace, never want to go there. If God starts moving, you know what they're doing? They take it out of the room. I'm talking about God, one God, apostolic, tongue-talking, that if somebody starts messing up, has a demon, they take it out of the room so it doesn't appear on live stream. Well, let me just tell you, I don't have a problem shutting the live stream down and dealing with an issue. But I will say this, we better do it in the house of God, so that we understand the authority of God, and so our children will know that there is still a God that answers by fire. There is still a God that says there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I cannot be seduced by partial obedience to God. Monuments. Memorializing greatness. Look how good I am. Look how great I am. It is the seduction of the show. It is the seduction of success. Look how many. I will tell you that I have had to deal with preachers and people that were so-called pastors that believed that it was okay for them to continue in their adulterous relationship because they had been baptizing somebody or because they had so many in their pew. Or because we've got so much money. If I've got a bigger house, then I surely must be blessed. No, 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 no. That is not a barometer of God's blessings being His approval. Oh, God, help us today to not get drunk on anointing and on feeling and emotions, but help us today to be committed to obedience. It has got to be, it must be, that we quit playing tiddlywinks with God and we just simply go through the motion. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That is not an option. That is a commandment. He said, be ye holy for I am holy. That's not an option. That's a commandment. Amen. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. That's not just a cliched apostolic quote. That is the word of God. He said that men are to be men and women are to be women. That's not just an idea that we got out of our family and our forefathers. It's the word of God. Yes. Pastor Dillon, it's not an option. Whether it's in Honduras, the Philippines, wherever, it's not an option. Amen. Can I just tell you, don't be seduced by a slick-looking church program every time. I'm not saying that good-looking churches can't have righteous programs and righteous services. That's not the truth. But there are a lot of those today that will spend their time and their energy on the look. How tall is he? How handsome is he? It's the look. It's the outside. It's the show. And God has said, I will not tolerate that. Amen. I will not tolerate. So Saul, he's going from Carmel and he's setting him up a place. He's building a monument. And the Bible said, and he went about and he passed on and went down to Gilgal. He's traveling the countryside on his parade of success. Look how good I've got it. Look how good. And let me just tell you, nobody is so successful that they ever have the option or the chance to say that my ministry is so great, I can do what I want to, I can live how I want to. They may not say that, but that is their actions. I am saying we cannot get drunk on the show, on the look, on the conference, on the event, but we must be drunk on the Holy Ghost. We must be drunk on the Word of God. It must be this and nothing else. Oh, God, help this pastor. It must be this and nothing else. Praise God. The monument was designed to give Saul glory, not God. Whew. So Saul's pride picked a fight with God. Can I just tell you, please listen to me. When you hear the word of God and the revelation of truth comes to you and you decide to go your own way and disobey it, that's your show. That's your show. I don't have an option, brothers and sisters. When there is a word that God gives me, I don't have an option to debate. I don't have an option to discuss. This is not a time for countermeasures and conference tables and say, oh God, yes, but there's been a lot of people that have backslidden away from God with just a simply thought of, well, I can go do this and it's okay. It may not be a heaven or hell issue, but it might be an obedience issue. Yeah. Obey. Right. Obey. We are living in the hour of the me show. YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook has created a culture of celebrity.
Yes, I have.
Look at me. See me. How many likes I get, how many clicks I get, how many friends I have, how many people are watching this. And so what we do is we set up a fake little look like this is the way everything looks in your life. That kitchen counter with your coffee pot and your nice little, you know, decoration there. Don't show the rest of the mess. Because this is my perfect world. This is my I'm not against that. You go right ahead. What I am against is the culture of celebrity hitting the church that says, look at me, not look at him. Our greatest thing today is not figuring out who we are, not even what our problem is, not even who our identity is. Our greatest thing is finding out who he is. Amen. We need to learn today that if I can find out who he is, I'll know who I am. If I can find out who he is, I don't have to worry about my craziness in this brain. If I can find him, amen. You see, the early church was not built on an organization. It wasn't built on a denomination. It was built on the Holy Ghost. It was built on a move of God. And if we are going to be a last day church, we must be built on a move of God. Yes. Come on and love him in this house. First Samuel 15:13. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. I have performed it. The Lord just told Samuel he did not perform it. Now Saul is saying, I have performed. I've come to the scene. I have arrived. That's what that phrase means. I have validated. I have proven, I have carried. My actions validate my reasoning. I know, Lord, you said, but my actions validate my reasoning. It's got good intentions. And so I know that you've told me something, but I can't move off of that because, you see, I've got other issues. Somebody say other issues. I've performed. I've did the show. Saul may have disobeyed, but at least it appeared like he did a good job. You know, at least I did a good job. I can remember one time years ago in a church I pastored, church we pastored somewhere south of here. All of them were south of here for you new folks. A person did something that was very harmful, very inappropriate and hurtful to some other church people. And this was their excuse. I did it one time. Now that wouldn't be an issue if the issue would have been, I repent for that one time. But no, it's an excuse. I did it for one time. It was only once. Somebody run over your foot once. I want to tell you today, we don't have time to play with God. In this spirit of the show, in the seduction of the show, amen, the primary motivation of the mindset today is about the performance. It's about whether it is exactly what Satan came to tempt Jesus. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. I want you to perform for me. Can I tell you, I don't have a performance for anybody but Jesus Christ and him only. Our praise team has no performance for this body but Jesus Christ. This body has no performance but save the Lord of glory. I worship him only. I praise him only. There is no show. There is only him. So you know what Saul does? Saul, well, I'll get to that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Look at verse 14. He said, I have performed in verse 13. And Samuel said, but what means the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the ox that I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. Listen to this. This is where I was about to go and I'm about to overstep myself. For the people. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we. Saul was a case, y'all. The people spared, but we destroyed. See, that's the spirit of the show. The spirit of the show is that I'll blame everybody else for my problems and my issues and my shortcomings. Well, if they weren't such and such, and if they weren't such a bad such and so, and they didn't have this problem and that problem, and and what happens is the show goes on because we're not stopping and thinking. Saul, this was your responsibility. This was your job. Oh, but the people, amen, we have become so addicted to making sure that everybody is pleased by what we're doing. Amen. Is cousin Ed pleased? Is Aunt Sally pleased? Is Grandma Flip Flop pleased? Is Grandpa, amen, overalls pleased? Is this one pleased? The thing is God pleased? Is God pleased? If he is, if it is any other thing, then it's a show. That we're doing something for our own salvation, our own acceptance, our own me too, pat me on the back, make me feel good ideology. Amen. But it boils down to the antidote to seduction is obedience to God. Can you lift your voice and praise him in this house? Here's the seduction of the show when it comes to the crowd. Study the life of Saul. You will find that when he got with the crowd of prophets, he prophesied. When he got with a crowd that was deserting him in battle, he could not trust God. When the crowd deserted him in battle, he could not trust God. When the crowd wanted the spoils of war, he could not stand in their way. Even now, he was rejected by God, but he wanted to please everybody else. I don't care that I've been rejected by God. I want to make sure that oh, so-and-so is pleased in my life. Can I tell you, it does not matter. If the show makes everybody else like me and everybody else befriend me, I have got to have him to know I want to obey you. Verse 14, Samuel said, what meaning then this bleating of the sheep in my ears? You will always find evidence of the show and the lowing of the oxen which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. I'm going to stop here and I'm not sideboarding because it's part of the show. You can research this and you can look at it. But there is a so-called pastor that his son was away in the military, and he moved his son's wife and daughter into the house with him in order to help him with his sick wife. And while this is going on, this dad talks the daughter-in-law into divorcing her husband, his son, and the wife dies, and they get married. You think that that's a Hollywood story. No. Well, surely he doesn't go back to the pulpit. Yes. Right back. A man is found, a pastor is found in bed with a woman that is not his wife. And he says, y'all have to forgive me. And they cheer and they clap. He says, now there'll be people on the outside that's going to be upset with this, but we've got to move on. No, God is saying, I hear bleeding of sheep. I hear lowing of oxen. The show is going on. We are more concerned about how it looks to our constituents, how it looks to our internet base, how it looks to our congregation. And God is saying, I am not pleased with that. I am not pleased with that. I refuse the seduction of the show. Agag must die. Agag is a symbol of doubt and fear. As long as you let doubt and fear alive in your life, you cannot obey God. Amen. You cannot obey God. Oh, Lord, help us today. Help us today. Oh, help us today. Thank God for a prophet called Samuel. Let's jump to verse 18, who said, the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but you fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord? There are some things we need to realize that are off limits. You see, there is a deception among us. James 1 and 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues or obeys therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Deception is the dance partner of the show. We cannot afford to be deceived. I have so much more that I could go into, but I'm going to bring it to a close. I could talk to you about the rebellion is a sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. And God is pretty much plowing deep in that situation. But Menorah Pentecostal Church, I call us to live a life of repentance and not a life of being impressed with the show. I call us to a life of saying, I need him more than blessings. I need him more than my healing. I need him more than a marriage. I need him more than a successful job. I need him above everything else. It is hearing in the night when he says, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. And then say, where are you, Lord? I hear you. It's being pulled over on the side of the road in your semi-truck as you're driving, and the Lord began to pour out his power upon you. Amen. It's about being on your job and saying, I need him more than I need to be everybody else liking me. I need him.
Thank you for listening to the MPC podcast. We trust that today's message has inspired you, encouraged you, and strengthened you in the Lord. We would like to invite you to join us again by simply subscribing to our podcast, and we encourage you to write a review if it has been a blessing to you. Again, you can find us at medorachurch.com to learn more about our ministry.